मनहादत्स्व मायी बुद्धिम निवेशया निवाशिष्यासी मायेव अत्र ऊर्ध्वं स संशया. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me, always, without a doubt. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who is engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service lives in a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord, so there is no doubt that his position is transcendental from the very beginning. A devotee does not live on the material plane. He lives in Krishna. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. Therefore, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal potency are dancing on the tongue of a devotee. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you for so kindly taking your precious time to come this evening to participate in this wonderful celebration honoring the 100th anniversary of the appearance of our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We have just witnessed a very beautiful, devotionally enacted drama depicting the early life of that great Acharya from the south of India, Jamuna Acharya. Jamuna Acharya has written many great books and many wonderful prayers, including the Stotra Ratna, which have been enlightening the hearts of millions of fortunate souls since the time when he first blessed the world by his presence. He was the chief of all of the Acharyas of South India, and even the great Ramanujacharya, the present founder of the modern day Sri Sampradaya, accepted him as his spiritual master. We have seen in this drama how when he was only a child of 5 years old, he was able to defeat the greatest scholar, pundit, in all of the kingdom. How is this possible? Kolahala had studied the Shastras scrutinizingly, practicing debate for many decades. How much study could a five-year-old child have done in his life? But it is said in Shastra, Mukam karoti vachalam bhangum langayati giri yatripatam aham bande sigurum dinatharanam, that one who receives the mercy of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, nothing is impossible. Even if he is lame, he can cross mountains. Even if he is dumb, he can speak the most learned words. And even if one is blind, one can see the farthest stars in the sky. And beyond that, one could see God within his heart and within everything and everyone. Because he was a humble devotee of the Lord, dedicated to serving his spiritual master, he was empowered in such a way to utterly defeat the greatest of the pundits, Kolahala. And through this,
at the age of hardly 5 years old, he was given half the kingdom of the Pandya dynasty. According to our history, shortly after he became king, other kings who were inimical decided this was a good opportunity to attack and usurp more property for their own kingdoms. So they marched forward, and this five-year-old child, who had just recently inherited the entire kingdom, was empowered by the Supreme Lord to mobilize armies that completely annihilated all opposition. He became the most powerful and the most respected king in all of the southern provinces of India. And as it was said, Bhagavad Gita teaches that whatever your particular occupation may be, if you perform it in a mood of devotion to God, that is yoga. That is the highest perfection of life. Whether one is a sannyasi or a brahmachari, living in an ashram, begging for alms, or whether one is living with wife or husband, children, in an occupation as a businessman, an architect, an engineer, a farmer, a student, a housewife, or even a king. If one performs one's work in a spirit of devotion, under the proper guidance of a real spiritual master who is teaching real devotion, then we should understand that that person is perfectly situated on the path of perfection. And one who, on behalf of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, does this work, he is always protected by the Lord. And in the remainder of Yamunacharya's history, we find how the Lord always protects his devotee through the agency of the devotees. Queen Kunti prays in Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmaishwaraya Shruti Shibir Edamana Manapuman, that when we become too much attached to high birth, to opulent wealth, to big education, and to physical beauty, one's tendency is to become proud. We become infatuated by those illusory manifestations of material energy, and we forget our bhajan, our sadhana, and our connection to Krishna. And this gradually took place in the life of Alabandaru, Yamunacharya. Although a very pious king, always upholding the principles of true religion, fair to everyone, gradually, his own bhakti, his spiritual practices, became less, because the same excuse that so many of us have, he didn't have time. How do you expect me to chant the holy names of the Lord and come to satsangs and read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, when I have so many family responsibilities, so many occupational duties? This is the great disease throughout the world, and it is especially prominent here in India. Although people generally know what is the goal of life and what is the truth, they are so preoccupied, they simply do not have time. Bhagavatam describes Ayur Harati Bhai Pungshang Udyan Astantu, that with every rising and every setting of sun, you are one day closer to death. But for one who utilizes his time in practicing Krishna consciousness, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to eternal life. The Vishnu Purana describes that the greatest tragedy, the greatest mishap that can take place in the life of a human being is not ill health, is not losing all one's material possessions, is not losing all one's loved ones. Those things are inevitable. You cannot avoid it. Everything will be lost in the material plane. The Vishnu Purana says the greatest loss is when we waste even a moment without thought of God. Because we do not know how long we will live. Prahlad Maharaj was also a 5-year-old child. Empowered by the Lord, he spoke the highest truths of Bhagavad Dharma. Komara ich acharit pragyo dharman bhagavata iha. Durlaba manasam janma. Tar apyatruvamara tadam. That even as a tiny child, this is the time. Do not wait another moment to cultivate your God consciousness. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Because in this world we do not know when our last breath will come. So, Jamunacharya, in all his responsibilities, he didn't have time for his bhajan, for his worship. And gradually, he forgot what is the goal of life. But his grandfather, who loved him dearly, was a very great devotee of the Lord. And his grandfather wept and cried in great sorrow to see the condition of his grandson. What type of grandfather is this? Most of you, if your children were living as the king with a royal throne, with all the opulences and luxuries and powers at their disposal, you would be very proud. Just see what my son has accomplished in life. But Jamunacharya's grandfather, he was brokenhearted to see his child because he was forgetting the goal of life, the only real eternal treasure of devotion to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Nathamuni was his name, and he was a spiritual master. When he was very old, about to disappear from this world, he called his chief disciple, whose name was Ram Mishra. And he told Ram Mishra that my heart grieves for my grandson. He has forgotten the goal of life. He doesn't have time. Now I am very old. I am about to die. I am giving you this last instruction. It's by some means, bring him back to the path of pure devotional service. Shortly after speaking these words, Nathamuni returned to Vaikuntha, the ultimate destination, to engage in the eternal loving service of the Supreme Lord, Narayan. After some years, Ram Mishra decided it was the proper time to make some endeavor to bring the king, Alabandhara, back to the feet of the Lord. He went to the palace. His palace was in Madurai, that beautiful city where the Meenakshi Mandir is attracting so many millions of pilgrims every year, even today. When he went to the palace, he saw that every day there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people standing in line to get audience with the king. There were royal chariots and palanquins of kings and queens and ministers and noblemen from all over the world that were coming to see the great Alabandhara. So he was thinking, I am just a sadhu, sannyasi, beggar. How will I ever get in to see him? So he devised a plan. He saw growing near the palace were some green leaves, a type of spinach that had very good Ayurvedic medicinal properties. And he picked them very carefully. And he brought them to the king's personal royal cook. And he said that, may Lord Narayan bless you. These spinach leaves are very good. They put a person in a good, peaceful state of mind, and they bring about a very long, healthy duration of life. Out of love and respect for the king, please prepare them and offer to him. So the cook prepared this spinach for the king, and Ram Mishra would deliver that spinach every morning for 2 months. And one day, Ram Mishra did not come, quite deliberately, according to his plan. And the king called the cook in and said, this delicious spinach preparation, why you did not put it on my plate today? And the cook said, the sadhu who brings it, he didn't bring it today. Who is this sadhu? How much does he charge for this spinach? He said, I do not know who he is, and I do not know where he comes from, and he never takes any payment. He simply gives it out of love for you. Jamunacharya said, next time he comes, immediately bring him to see me. So the next day, Sri Ram Mishra appeared with the spinach, and he was brought in front of all the noblemen and all of the kings and all of the great souls. He was brought right into the king's personal quarters. And when he saw this very pure, effulgent sadhu, he offered his obeisances. And Alabandhara said that I am your servant. You have been giving this nice offering to me every day without charge. Now I want to do something for you. How can I serve you? The sadhu replied, I would like to speak to you privately. When they were in private, he said, I am the disciple of your grandfather, the great Natha Muni. And before he died, he left a great, great treasure in my care to be given to you at the right time. Now I want to deliver this treasure to you. And when Alabandhara heard a treasure, he was very happy. Because you know, in this material world, however much you have, you always need more. That is the nature of life. The illusion of this material existence is someone who is quite poor is thinking, I do not have what I need. If only I have more money, more wealth, then I will be happy, satisfied. But this is a trap. Because the more you get, the more you require to maintain what you have. And the more that you have to maintain what you have, the more you need to preserve that. In this way, it's a vicious cycle. Srila Prabhupada used to say, pa pa ba ga ma. That we need so much, we have to work, and we literally practically foaming at the mouth like mudha ass. Working, working, working. And it's not that the poor people are working hard and the rich people are not. Try to find time with wealthy people. They are working, there is more foam coming out of their mouths. So much to do, so much empire to preserve. In this way, human life is wasted, simply working, 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 trying to get more and more and more and more. In fact, Bhagavad Gita tells us that material desires are like fire. The more you feed a fire, the hungrier the fire becomes. Similarly, our desires are like this. You cannot satisfy your heart or your mind or your senses through the process of sense gratification or acquisition of material opulence. The only possibility of satisfying our senses is by engaging them in the true purpose of life, which is the service of God. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhaktaruchyate Sarvapadiva Nirbuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam. The same mind and senses that we have now that are causing us so much trouble and disturbance, when they are engaged in the service of the Lord, they bring about a state of purification. That purification awakens our original blissful consciousness. We are not these bodies, and we have nothing to do with the designations that we carry within our life. We are the eternal soul. Najayate mriyate vakata chindayambhuto vavarvayam. And the soul is not subject to birth or death. The soul is part of God, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of ecstasy. Why we are suffering? Why we are identifying with this body which is aging and coming closer to death? It is because we have forgotten the true substance and essence of life. And when we come back in contact with our own eternal nature, naturally, we come back in contact with our relationship with Krishna, with Bhagavan. And that is the source of real peace, real pleasure. So Alabandhara was very much excited about the idea of getting more wealth, inheritance. So he said, "Let us go to that place. I will bring my armies." Ram Mishra said, "This is a very special place where this treasure is kept. I will only take you if you come alone." So Jamuna Acharya entrusted all of the responsibilities of his kingdom to his ministers and aides, and alone he began walking by foot with Sri Ram Mishra. And they walked and they walked, leaving Madurai behind, going through the fields and the villages and the countryside. And at noontime they came to a very lonely place, and it was very hot, so they sat to rest. At that time, Ram Mishra, in a very sweet and devotional voice, he began to chant the beautiful words of Krishna as were spoken on that battlefield in Kurukshetra, Bhagavad Gita. As he was reciting Bhagavad Gita, Jamunacharya, he had not heard this for so many long years, practically 30 years he didn't have time to hear the Gita. But he was listening attentively, and he was hearing from the lips of a devotee of the Lord. This is essential. Krishna explains in Gita, Bhaktosime shakashetim rahasyam yetat utamam. That Arjuna, you can understand the teachings of Gita because you have the qualifications required. And what are the qualifications? Not being a pundit, not being a Sanskrit scholar, not being a tapasi who hardly eats or sleeps. Because you are my friend and you are my devotee, you can understand these things as they are. And this is so true. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, when he first came to the Western world, he saw on the bookshelves of the bookstores and the libraries, there was over 100 translations of Bhagavad Gita in the English language. But not a single person in the entire Western world, even amongst the millions who have studied Gita, even in college courses with degrees on Gita, not a single one of them understood even the most basic teachings of the Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samantata. That Krishna is Bhagwan. That Krishna is the source of all spiritual and material worlds. That the wise who know this perfectly engage in his devotional service with all their hearts. There was not a single devotee of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, he compiled out of his great mercy, over 70 years old when he began, Bhagavad Gita as it is, which we are reading from tonight. This Bhagavad Gita preserved the true explanations of all the great previous spiritual masters in the path of devotion. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashaya vidhu. Krishna tells us in Gita that this knowledge is passed down through parampara, through disciplic succession. It is not subjected to anyone's opinions or anyone's particular motivations. It must be presented as it is. Tadvadi pranibhate na pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastvata darshana. Krishna says in Gita, if you want to know truth, you must approach Guru. There is no other way. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu sreya utamam. You must inquire submissively and become the servant of such a great soul who is humbly presenting the message of Krishna as it has been passed down through disciplic succession. Nowhere does it say the qualification of a guru is that he can perform miracles. A guru is not somebody who can astrologically calculate what will be in your future. A real guru is not someone who can produce gold or ashes as a demonstration of power. A real guru is not someone who could read your mind or heal your body from deadly diseases. These are powers. They are material powers. But Krishna tells us in Gita, a real guru is one who simply repeats the truth of the words of God without adulteration by his life and by his teachings, as they have been preserved through the parampara or disciplic succession of great souls. And when we hear the message of truth from such souls, it awakens our love of God. Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is transformed the lives of millions of people throughout the world. People of the West, they gave up the addictions that they were born and raised into it as their life. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Who can give these things up in the Western world? It is unheard of. During the British regime of India, the Lord Jetland, a British nobleman, he asked one of our Guru Maharaj's godbrothers, can you make me a Brahmin? He said, yes. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Lord Jetland, with all sincerity, he replied, impossible. How will we live without these things? When Srila Prabhupada was here at Cross Maidan in downtown Bombay with his disciples around him, he was telling the audience of about 25,000 people that these young people have never heard the name of Krishna before. Now they have surrendered their lives within one or two short years. They have given their entire lives to exclusively be serving Krishna, living according to the highest principles of spirituality. How is this possible? Srila Prabhupada said, these young men and women, they are coming from multimillionaire families of the West. They are living a standard that the people of India can hardly even imagine of material wealth. And they have given it all up to come to me. And who am I? I am just an old man who am a beggar and a sadhu. But because I am repeating this, the truth, it has awakened love of God in their hearts. Ram Mishra, as he was speaking Bhagavad Gita, with each sloka, it was awakening Jamunacharya's memory of his spiritual inclinations. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoy Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Kori Ayudoy. Pure love of God is dormant within the heart of everyone. Krishna consciousness is the original, only real consciousness. Just as water falls from the cloud, it is pure. But when it comes in contact with the earth, its clarity is clouded by mud. Or just as the sun is sometimes temporarily blocked from our vision by a cloud, the knowledge of God, the bliss of love of God that is within our heart has temporarily been contaminated and clouded by the cloud of forgetfulness. And what is religion? What is yoga? What is spiritual life for? Simply to remove that cloud, to filter the water of our consciousness and bring it to its natural original state, Krishna consciousness. And this takes place, the first principle, through associating with devotees who have achieved that standard of consciousness. Due to being in the association of Ram Mishra, due to hearing Bhagavad Gita from him, Jamunacharya's original spiritual consciousness was being awakened. And similarly, if we associate with sincere devotees of the Lord and hear the Gita from them, our own original spiritual consciousness will awaken as an irrevocable fact. At the end of the 18th chapter, Jamunacharya fell at the feet of Ram Mishra and prayed to him, by hearing the teachings of Gita, I am becoming so attracted to Krishna, to his words and to his service, that all of the pleasures and all of the wealth that I have in my kingdom have become pale, dry, undesirable for me. Please continue to recite. Ram Mishra said, if you have time, let us spend the next few days here discussing Bhagavad Gita. Which they did. After about a week of Ram Mishra's explanations from Bhagavad Gita, he came to this particular verse that we are reading tonight. Maeva mana adatsva mai budham niveshaya nivaishyasyasi maeva atta urdvam nasangshaya. This is the essence of all the scriptures contained in one sloka. Just fix your mind upon me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. When Krishna says me, who does he mean? Some commentators of the Bhagavad Gita giving their own interpretations, they are saying that when Krishna says me, he doesn't mean Krishna. He means the unborn, impersonal, unmanifested, supreme being within Krishna. And this is a popular conception. But it is not authorized. It is misleading. When Krishna says me, he means Krishna. If he wanted to say the unborn within him, he would have said the unborn within him. To fix your consciousness on me, to always remember me, means to always remember Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Lord Brahma has spoken that Krishna is the supreme of all lords. He has an eternal body which is full of knowledge and full of bliss. He is the cause of all causes, the source of everything, and the ultimate goal of life. When Jamunacharya heard this verse, tears began to flow in ecstatic love from his eyes. And he cried out with great feeling and devotion, "Alas, alas, I have wasted my life chasing after the illusions and the mirages of this world in the form of wealth, in the form of power, in the form of sex enjoyment, in the form of family attachment. The real true goal of life, the real true pleasure of life is in service to God, remembrance of God. Now I surrender to you. I accept you as my spiritual master. Please give me initiation." In fact, Jamunacharya said, "Now that I have achieved the enlightenment of your words and your satsang, I do not even want the treasure that my grandfather has given me. I am satisfied simply to hear and chant the glories of the Lord." And Ram Mishra told him, "But I have vowed to your grandfather that I will give you this treasure. So let us continue our journey." They continued. They came to the place of the treasure. Ram Mishra originally told Jamunacharya that this treasure is guarded by 7 walls. It is between 2 rivers. It is guarded by a big, big serpent. There is a yaksha that comes to protect it on a regular basis. And it can only be revealed through the chanting of a mantra. He took him to that great and famous holy place, one of the holiest places in all of India and the world. It is in Tamil Nadu, Sri Rangakshetra. Today this holy place is just close to the city of Tiruchirappalli. It is the largest temple in India. It is on an island between the two branches of the holy river Kaveri. There are 7 beautiful gopurams on all 4 sides that you have to go through to reach the holy altar of the Lord. They went through the 7 walls, and there Ram Mishra showed the beautiful darshan of Lord Ranganath, who is protected by the Anantashesh, the beautiful snake he lies upon. It is said that Vibhishan, that great yaksha, the brother of Ravana, he originally installed the deity there. And every year he comes to worship the deity. And even if you're seeing the deity does not reveal himself to you unless you purify your heart through the chanting of the mantra of the holy name. There are so many temples throughout India, and so many people are coming for their darshans and asking for so many material benefits from the deities. People go to the temples of the demigods, give me wealth, give me health, give me wife, give me children, give me long life, give me victory over my enemies, over my competitors. So many innumerable requests people bring to God and the Lord's servants. But this is not true worship. True worship is to come in a mood of devotion. Devotion does not mean what you will give me. Bhakti means, my Lord, I am yours. How can I serve you? You know what I need. You know what I want. Why should I ask you for these things? I should be asking you how I can please you. Human life is not meant to enjoy God. Human life is meant to be enjoyed by God through our surrender and our devotion. And when we come before the deity of the Supreme Lord is the Lord Himself. He is not wood, He is not stone. But unless we carefully chant the holy names and cleanse our hearts, we cannot see the deity as He is. So Jamunacharya surrendered. He ran to the feet of Lord Ranganath and he surrendered his life. And he began to loudly chant his holy names. For the rest of his life, he based himself in Rangakshetra. After his Guru Maharaj Ram Mishra left, Jamunacharya became the greatest acharya of India in the time. And even such great souls as Ramanujacharya surrendered to his lotus feet. The Supreme Lord, Sri Ranganath, Lord Sri Krishna, descends into this world in every age to establish the Yuga Dharma, the means by which we can purify our hearts. According to Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavat, and various other Vedic scriptures, in this age of Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord descends in His most munificent and merciful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar. He comes to give the recommended process of self-realization for this age. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata, which is the congregational chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. And the Kali Santarana Upanishad explains that this 16-word mantra, which is called the Maha Mantra, is especially and specifically the proper effective medicine to cleanse our hearts and reawaken our original pure Krishna consciousness. The Maha Mantra is very simple. Anyone could chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through all the provinces of South India and induced everyone practically to achieve ecstatic love by raising their arms and chanting this Maha Mantra. Wherever he would go, he came to Kurama Kshetra. There he met Kurama Brahman. The Kurama Brahman became so ecstatic in pure devotion to Lord Hari that he decided to just leave his family and go with this great sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to preach. But Lord Chaitanya told him the same thing he told practically everyone he met. There is no need for you to leave your wife and children and home. You stay home. You perform your work. But in your home, you make it a temple of Krishna. You dedicate your family, your occupation, the funds you earn and everything to the service of Krishna. You offer your food to Krishna and take it as prasad. You study Gita. You associate with sadhus. Temple where your whole family comes together to perform the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. During his travels, he came to Rangakshetra, the place that Jamunacharya lived so many long years as the Acharya. When he came to Ranganath Mandir, he saw the beautiful deity of Ranganath, and with his arms raised, he began to chant, and he began to dance. Some people, they cannot understand, what is this dancing? Why you are doing like this? Is this some fanaticism? Is this some sentimentalism? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that this dancing is the natural quality of the soul's expression to glorify God. It is the perfection of the utilization of every single limb, every cell, every molecule and atom of your body to be engaged in glorifying God's name through dancing in kirtan. So as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing so beautiful, thousands and thousands of people from all around Sri Rangakshetra and all the pilgrims, they all began to join his beautiful dance of love and raise their arms and blissfully chanted Krishna's holy names. One day, he met a particular Brahman. This Brahman was illiterate. But every day, without fail, he would sit in the courtyard of Sri Ranganath's temple and he would recite all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And the great pundits and scholars who very, very meticulously chanted every Sanskrit sloka in perfect meter and perfect rhyme, accurate pronunciation, they were very proud. And when they would see this Brahman saying everything very wrong, some of them joked and laughed at him. Others criticized and condemned him as being useless. Practically no one respected him, but he just sat and every day he continued his recitation of Gita. Lord Chaitanya saw him. There were tears in his eyes and his hairs were standing on end. And Lord Chaitanya asked, "What is it?" He was singing. He said, "I am trying to chant Bhagavad Gita, but I'm illiterate. People are laughing, criticizing. But I don't mind, and I will tell you why. Although I do not know what I'm reading, and I do not know whether I pronounce it right or wrong, my Guru Maharaj has ordered me that every day I sit here and recite all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And whatever anyone wants to think of me or say of me, I must be faithful to the words of my Gurudev." When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his heart melted. Because Bhagavad Gita does not understood through scholarship. Bhagavad Gita or any great scripture of the world is only understood when the Lord Himself reveals the truth from within your heart. And He reveals the truth when we are faithful and humble servants of our Guru, of His devotee. When we are willing to endure criticism from society and others to remain faithful to the service of the Lord and His devotee, our Guru. The Brahman went on to speak. He said, as I'm reading Gita, I am simply seeing this picture. Krishna, the absolute truth, the supreme controller of all creations. He has taken the humble role of the chariot driver of His own devotee, Arjuna. With the reins of the horses in His hands, He is very beautiful with His bluish complexion. When I see this picture and I think of the beauty and the mercy and the love of Krishna, my heart melts in ecstatic love. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, his heart melted in ecstatic love. Lord Chaitanya embraced him and he said, you are the authority of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has revealed the highest revelations to you. And as he embraced this Brahman, he invested within his heart pure ecstatic prema, Krishna prema, the ultimate perfection of life. The Vedas describe various goals which people are trying to achieve through religious activities. Artha, kama, dama, moksha. People approach God for economic relief and development, for liberation, for sense gratification, for pious activities or religiosity. But the Vedas declare, what is the purushartha siromani, the crest jewel, the ultimate goal of all religion? Prema pumartha mahan. Beyond mukti, beyond artha, kama, and dhamma, is prema, pure unalloyed love for the Lord. That was given to the Brahman by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was so pleased with his humility, his sincerity, his faith in his guru, and his devotion. And that Brahman, for the next 4 months of the Chaturmasya season, he was the constant association of the Supreme Lord in his form of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya revealed his original form of Krishna to this Brahman. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, has come to take this wonderful gift that Lord Chaitanya has given to the world, to everyone. What is that gift? The greatest treasure. God has appeared in His name. All of the power, all of the beauty, all of the glory of God is within His name. If we can even once chant the name of the Lord purely, with humble devotion, all the Lord's pastimes, all the Lord's beauty and glory, all of His mercy descend into our life. Krishna reveals Himself as we approach Him. The first and most important priority in life is to orient our present situation in such a way that we can regularly associate with Lord's devotees and we can learn the process of chanting His names with great attention and humility. The name of the Lord has descended from the spiritual world. Golokera premadana harinam sankirtan. Recently we celebrated Ram Navami. Ram killed Ravana with his arrows. Narasimhadev, his appearance day is coming next month. He killed Hiranyakashipu with the nails of his hands. Janmashtami is coming. Krishna killed so many demons with his Sudarshan Chakra, Shishupal and others. But that same Lord has descended in this age of Kali as Lord Chaitanya, and his weapon is his own name. By chanting the names of Krishna. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said, Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nita Sarva Shaktis. There are many names of God. And all the proper names of the Supreme Lord are invested with the great power of the Lord's mercy. If we chant any of these authorized names of God, we can be cleansed. But although many medicines may be effective, there is one that is particularly prescribed by a proper physician according to your particular disease. And the disease of this age of Kali Yuga is so deeply rooted in our heart. People have so many attachments, so many bad habits. They fight. They have conflict at the least provocation. Even friends, family members, lovers. Fighting is prevailing in this age of Kali. What to speak of fighting between castes and religions and nations? There is only one way to cure this spirit of dissent within our heart, and that is the medicine of the name of God. And in this age of Kali, the most powerful of all medicines is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So on this day and throughout our lives, we want to express our gratitude to our beloved spiritual master for so kindly bringing this pure teachings of Gita and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to the whole world and back to its own place of origin, this great land of Bharatvarsha or India. So please take serious this wonderful gift that the Lord has given us and let us make our lives perfect. Thank you very much. In this most wonderful, wonderful experience of the highest and most joyful process of yoga, the congregational chanting of the holy names, Harinam Sankirtan. We will now teach you the process of chanting.